Today's shir is Masechta B'chayrus Daf Lamed Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the bottom Mishnah on the Amud. Says the Mishnah B'chor Shnis Mas Enoi, a B'chor that became blind. And in fact, the Marsham says, from our Mishnah we see that for a B'chor to be considered a Balmum, it doesn't have to have that the eye was poked out, just if the Bechor became blind, that is enough that the Bechor should become Balmum. Or Shenikta Yadai, one of its forelegs was cut off, or Nishbar Raglai, one of its back legs was broken. In all of these situations, the Bechor is a Balmum. So the Shalos Teshuvos Beis Shearim focuses on the Mishnah using different wording by the foreleg and by the back leg, to say that the foreleg makes the animal a balmum only if it's completely taken off. The back leg is as soon as it's broken. That's how the Beis Shearim explains. The Ramshik has a different understanding. He says, when we speak about the Bechor being a balmum, what's the point of us speaking about the Bechor being balmum? There's really two points. One is that it can't be brought as a carbon. And number two, that it could be eaten by the Kohen or whoever he invites. But if the animal's a treifa, then the Bechor can't be eaten anyway. So the entire procedure of determining if it's a Balmum is fairly useless. That's why he says we need to understand the Mishnah. The foreleg, even if it's cut off, is not a treifa. And that's why the Mishnah used the word nikta in the foreleg. In the back leg, as we learned in Masechta Chulin, certain times when that leg is broken, it indeed becomes a treifa. At other times, it does not become a treifa. And that's why the Mishnah speaks about broken, because sometimes it's still not treif that way. Hareza yishachet, you could shecht it based on the psak of Gimel Beis HaKnesses. Three people in the shul. What does Gimel Bnei HaKnesses mean? The Mefarshim say, we remember the Gemara in Masechta Megillah, that the Gemara Masechta Megillah says that in every town there were Asara Batlonim. The Gimel Bnei Knesses are from those Asara Batlonim. What does this mean? So the way that I sort of Mefarshim explain, as this becomes clear in the Mishnah and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, these Gimel Bnei Knesses really weren't great Talmidei Chachamim. But they are people who are in the yeshiva, are in the shul. So even though they're not really great Talmidei Chachamim, if you sit in shul and Beis Medrash all day, you're going to absorb and you're going to hear halacha, and therefore they're somewhat qualified. Rav Yossi disagrees. He says, afilu she'esh hamchaf gimel, even if you could have a Sanhedrin, we know from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin that it 23 members of the Sanhedrin, ein anishchat, you can't shecht the carbon el api mumcha, only based on the psak of a mumcha. And as Rishonim explained, what Rav Yossi means to say of a mumcha means that he has two requirements. One is that he has to have the smicha, the special smicha that gives him the authority to determine if a bechor is a balmum, and also mumcha, that he's an expert, he's a veterinarian, he understands an animal when it's a balmum. Says the Gemara, Rav Simloi, Rav Yehuda Nasiya, Tavayu, Mishmei, Rav Yishu ben Levi. One version has them saying this in the name of Rav Yishu ben Levi. Amri, they said, Family Law, in a different version, it's Rav Simloi, Rav Yishu ben Levi, Tavai Mishim Rav Yehuda Nasi Amri, are saying what we're got to learn in the name of Rav Yehuda Nasi. Hataras Bechor Chutz Laretz, when you have a Bechor in Chutz Laretz, you need Shloish Bnei Knesses. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, he says, in Masechta Temura, teaches us that Bechayrim that were born in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laretz, I mean, even though they have the Hilchos Bechayrim, were not typically brought to Eretz Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon. Rather, they waited until they became Balimum, and then they became the personal property of the Kohen. So therefore, we would think that since it's anyway not going to be brought as a carbon, the halacha should be that therefore the Gemara is teaching us, since it's not going to be brought as a carbon, you could use Shloisha B'nai Knesses, any three people could paskin that this animal's a mum. However, Kamets Rava, Ubram Rava, Mumim Hakim. It has to be obvious Mumim. Why does it have to be obvious Mumim? Because since we're dealing with people who aren't experts, so the only way they can be certain that this is a din, that this is indeed about Mum, is if it's Mumim of Hakim. And as Tosfos explains, why would I think differently? If, as we just explained, says Tosfos, this animal is not going to be brought at this role, so of course it should be easier to paskin it's a Baal Mum. What are they teaching us? So he says two explanations. One explanation he says is that since in Eretz Yisrael these animals are being brought as a carbon, so in order not to confuse between Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael, that's why he had to say that even though in Eretz Yisrael we have to be stricter, that doesn't have anything to do with Chutz Laaretz. That's one pshat. Another pshat Tosfos to suggest is that the halacha is that if you were to bring this animal from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, then it would be brought as a carbon. So since potentially this animal could be brought as a carbon, I would think that you can't just use Gimel Bnei Knesses. The Gemara teaches us these Manda Amrim that you can. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what are they teaching us that we don't see from our Mishnah? Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah. So isn't our Mishnah very clear that this is an acceptable approach? What are they teaching us? Answers the Gemara. Imas Nisan, if we would have our Mishnah, have Amina, we would think, since, as we just finished explaining, this animal that's in Chutz Laaretz is not likely to be brought to Yisrael, so we can rely on Gimel Bnei Knesses, even by Mumin She'enim of Hakim. V'hadik Tarim Kamash Milan, that we don't. V'hadik Tarim of Hakim. But ask the Gemara, why would we think so? If our Mishnah clearly is speaking about obvious Mumim, broken feet, blind, so obviously the Mishnah is speaking about Mufakim. So how could we even ever have a Mina that the din of Gimel Bnei Knesses is even by Mumim She'enim of Hakim? Answers the Gemara, because we would say Lodiyach Koichad Rabbi Yosi to show us how machmer Rabbi Yosi is, that not only by Mumish Enim of Hakim does he not rely on Gimel Bnei Knesses, but even by Mumim of Hakim he doesn't rely on Gimel Bnei Knesses. But the Rabbanim, who are the Mekilim, will be Mekel not only by Mumim of Hakim with Gimel Bnei Knesses, they'll be Mekel even by Mumish Enim of Hakim. Kamashmon, that even the Rabbanon, who are the Mekilim, and do allow us to rely on Gimel Bnei Knesses, only rely on that when they are Mumim of Hakim. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Yimriya, Bar Abba, Sofak Mishmei the Rab, and Sofak Mishmei the Shmuel, and as we'll see soon on Lamed Zayin, Amar Aleph, the fact who was the man, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Yimriya said it, is going to be relevant. Gimel Matirmas Mechor, you could have three people be mekel bata the bechor, but makam shem mumcha, in a place where there is no mumcha. So Tosfos right away tells us, already in the time of Tosfos, the second to the bottom Tosfos on the Amud, psak, says Tosfos, umir bezman azen, the time of Tosfos, ein nirishay shum adam chashav mumcha. Already in his time, there was nobody who could be considered a mumcha lahatar. But it says the Gemara that you don't have three people in a place where there is no mumcha to paskin. Ask Gemara, my kamash malon. Isn't that what we learned in the Mishnah? Harezi shachra pay make gnosis. Answers the Gemara, imas nisin. If we only had our Mishnah, we would think, have a mina fiba mumcha, that even where there's a mumcha, you could have three people paskening, kamash malon, but makom she'ein mumcha in, only in a place where there is no mumcha can we rely on the Gimel Bnei Knesses, but makom she'esh mumcha, but in a place where we have a mumcha, we cannot rely on the Gimel Bnei Knesses. So the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara actually represents Chumrah, that we can't rely on the Gimel Bnei Knesses, we have to go to the mumcha. There are Rishonim that actually understand the Gemara to be teaching us a kula, that even though, again, because the mumcha we're speaking about in this Gemara is not somebody who has smicha, he's just an expert, as Taisus says. So the halacha is that we don't have to go look for three people, just find one mumcha and it'll be good enough. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chibar Amram, Gimim Atir Mas Bechar, any three individuals came out to the Bechar, but Mokum Shem Mumcha, in a place where mumcha is not available. We know, the Torah says, that a parsha in the Dorim, parshas matters, and as the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara. Parshas matters begins, so we see the halacha of the Dorim are specifically given over to the leaders, a Rashi Matz Bnei Yisrael. Zeh Adova Shetziva Hashem, says the Gemara, Masechet Nedarim, that since the Pasuk uses the words here, Zeh Adova Shetziva Hashem, and the Torah uses similar wording by the din of Shkutei Chutz, that you're not allowed to shecht the carbon outside of the Azara, and that halacha is not only said to leaders of Klal Yisrael, we learn from here, says the Gemara Masechet Nedarim, that on one hand the din of Nedarim are connected to the leaders, on one hand it's spoken to everyone. How do we understand that? Where you have a mumcha, go to the mumcha. Where you don't have a mumcha, go to any three people. Amrav Chibar Amram, give him a tirmas uchar, but mokum shein mumcha. Give him a tirmas a nadar, but mokum shein chochem. There's a very interesting psak in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody has a rov or a rebbe or a great Talmud Chacham, when he comes to do Ataras Nadarim, he should go to his rov, and he has no right to use three regular people, even though his rov may not necessarily be a mumcha. Ask the Sfasemis and all the Mefarshim, we know that our minik, Erev Rosh Hashanah, is to do Ataras Nadarim. What do you do by Ataras Nadarim? You take any three people who are sitting next to you, and you do Ataras Nadarim, even though there's a Rav in the shul, even though there's a Talmid Chacham in the shul. How do we understand this? So, the Sfasemis explained. So the Aruch HaShulchan, without really much explanation, says that's not our minig, to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Sfasemis says a very nice pshat. The Sfasemis says that only at a time where there are people that rely on a yochid mumcha, to rely on an individual to be matan neder, is there a din in the Shulchan Aruch that we have to go to the Rav, we have to go to the Chacham Chochem. But once it became our minig, b'zman hazeh, says the Sfasemis, that we always do Ataras Nedarim, specifically only with three people, this whole rule falls away. Give him a tirmas b'cha, b'mokum shem mumcha. So the Gemara now focuses on what we just learned from Rav Chibar Ovin. Give him a tirmas b'cha, b'mokum shem mumcha, b'fukim ed Rav Yossi, which is different than what Rabbi Yossi said, because Rabbi Yossi said you can never rely on three regular people. Furthermore, Shlosh Mefirim is a neder. The Rishonim already focus on the word Mefirim, because we know there are two different words and how to nullify a neder. A husband, a father, have the ability to be made for a neder. A Rav has a right, a Chacham has a right to be Matan neder. Here, the word Mefirim is actually inaccurate. It should have said Mefirim is a neder. Shlosh Mefirim is a neder, Mokum Shein Chacham, Lefukim Ad Rabbi Yehuda. What is he coming to teach us? Unlike what Rabbi Yehuda said, the Tanya, Hafaras Nedarim Gimel, any three individuals could be Matan Neder. Rabbi Yehuda says there's a specific restriction. Echad Mehem Chacham. B'makim Shein Chacham Kigoy Man. So one of them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, always has to be a Chacham. Ask the Gemara, B'makim Shein Chacham Kigoy Man, Omer of Nachman Kigoy Ano. So Rav Nachman used himself as an example of a Chacham. And there's two explanations what Rav Nachman meant to do with this. One explanation is Rav Nachman is going back to what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said that if you don't have a mumcha, you could use three people. But one of them has to be a Chacham. Says Rav Nachman, who is the caliber of an individual that has to be that Chacham? Says Rav Nachman, like myself. Others say that Rav Nachman is going back to the Chachamim. That the Chachamim gave us two options. Either use three regular people, or use a chacham. So Rav Nachman is saying, who is the chacham that the chacham will allow you to paskin by himself? A person of my caliber. And as the Mefarshim also go on to explain, even though typically it's certainly considered a sign of arrogance if you speak about yourself, here Rav Nachman was allowed to do so. Because even though the Mefarshim say, Rav Tzadik says this word, the Pasuk says, Yalucha zor v'loy picha, let other people praise you, not yourself. That's only in a place where people know who you are and what you are. But in a place where you are not known, or in a place like an Al Gemara, where it's needed to know what the halach is, then you're allowed to praise yourself. And in fact, that's Peshat in the Pasuk. Ya'alu chazar. Other people should praise you. V'loy. And if there aren't other people to praise you, pich, then you can praise yourself. Mechlal. So the Gemara is teaching us that one of them has to be a chacham. What about the other ones? Al Ravino, they have to be on the category of the Mestaber Leva Sovar. That they're at least enough Talmid HaChachamim that if they teach him Hilchas Negoim, they would understand it. Here too, there's a Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara just meant. Is the Gemara speaking to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda said that if you have a group of three being Matan Neder, one of them has to be a Chacham like Rav Nachman, and now we want to identify, and what do the other two have to be? So the Gemara says the other people have to be Mizbar Leva Sovar. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding, the Gemara is explaining the opinion of the Chachamim. That the Chachamim said that you don't need to have a Chacham. That if you have three people in the Matan Neder, you don't have to have a Chacham. On that says the Gemara, that even though it could be any three people, they at least have to be of the caliber, the Mizbar Leva Sovar, that if you teach them Hilchas Nedarim, they would be able to understand it. And here too, the Rishonim say, where does this caliber come from? Because as we said a few moments ago, the whole halacha that the Rabbanan, and to a degree Rabbi Yehuda, learns that anybody can be Matan Neder, is because Matan Neder, we compare to the halacha of Shechutei Chutz. Now what happened by Shechutei Chutz? Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of Klal Yisrael the rule that you're not allowed to shecht the carbon outside of the Azara. And everybody understood that rule. So similarly here too, who could be Matan Neder? Somebody could understand what's happening. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kanano Amrav, and Allah Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught us in the Mishnah that you have, Rabbi Yossi Bafil Yesham Chaf Gimel. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kanano Amrav, and Allah Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught us in the Mishnah that you always have to have this great expert. Says the Gemara, the Allah doesn't follow that. Ask the Gemara Peshitta. Don't we have a rule throughout Shas? Yachvin Rabbi Allah Rabbim. And the Chacham disagree with Rabbi Yossi, so of course we're going to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Answers the Gemara, Ma'adu Taim and Namukha Imai. Throughout Shas we have a rule. The Rabbi Yossi, Namukha Imai, he always has a very good explanation. And therefore, maybe here, even though the Chacham disagree with him, we should follow his opinion, Kamash Malam. And there's a Machlaikas Rishonim in this Gemara too, how to understand what the Gemara means to say. Does the Gemara mean to say that even though we know typically Rabbi Yossi Namukha Imai, and we should follow his opinion, that isn't said in a situation where the rabbim dispute him. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is that Rabbi Yossi Namukha Imai means that normally we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi even when he's arguing against the rabbim. Here is an exception to that rule, that because the rabbim are arguing with him, we agree with the rabbim. But normally we would follow even the opinion of Rabbi Yossi when the rabbim disagree with him. Now it goes back to Gemara to something I said we're going to come back to. Here we have Rav saying, Ani alok Rabbi Yossi. Earlier we had Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Yirmi Be'Abba, and we had a question that he said in the name of Rav, that he said in the name of Shmuel. Give him a timas b'cha b'makum shein mumcha. So, it's a proof, says the Gemara, that that statement was made by Shmuel. Because if that statement that we learned on the bottom of Amud Beis was already made by Rav, and this is the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, then saying Ein Halach Kreb Yossi is not needed. But he was teaching us, and they're very specific, that because he already said, Give him a Tirmas B'cha B'makim Shein Mumcha, that already teaches us everything, that we don't follow the Halach Kreb Yossi. And it teaches us when we could take three people. Now, the Mefarshim point out, just saying Ein Halach Kreb Yossi wouldn't be enough, because that doesn't teach us the entire Halacha. But if he said that halacha, why does he have to say this halacha? So isn't that a raya that that statement was not made by Rav, it was made by Shmuel? Tisha mehach kamaisa mishmei Shmuel itma. Di mishmei the Rav, if that statement was said by Rav, tata lamali, why would I have to have both statements? That statement encompasses everything. Answer the Gemara, it isn't a compelling proof. Why? Because chod mechlal de chaver titma. It could be that he only made one statement. The Gemara attributes two statements from him. It's not that he explicitly said both statements. He said one, and the Gemara extrapolated both. Says the Mishnah, Hashoich res b'char, somebody shechs a b'char, without having showing it, if it's a bal mum, to the chacham, and then the customer who purchased that meat, noydish le'ireh, becomes aware that this person had no right to sell this meat, without first showing it to the chacham. The halach is, mash ochloi, ochloi, v'yachs le'madamim. I bought this b'char meat, I get my money back. And there's a very big machlokes rishonim, with many nafkamina lahalocha, why? Rashi learns, it's a knas. You had no right to sell me b'char meat without showing it to the chacham. And if you did, Chazal gave you a knas that you have to give me back all of my money. The Sma, however, has a different approach. His approach is that when I buy meat from you, as is the case in our Mishnah, I'm intending to enjoy the meat. So even though I maybe physically enjoyed the meat, I ate the piece of meat for dinner, but my neshama certainly didn't have any anof from that meat, which is osur. And therefore I got something that has no value, and therefore I'm entitled to get my entire money back. What are the nafkaminas between Rashi and the Sma? The Mefarshim give many interesting nafkaminas. One nafkamina is that what happens if you sold me this meat b'shagig? If it's a knas, as Rashi suggests, so when you were a shagig, there's no knas. If, however, we follow the opinion of the Sma, that I ate something that has no value because it's also to eat, doesn't make a difference if it was b'shagig or b'mezer. Another nafkamina I saw is many times, especially in the times of Chazal, employer and employees had a arrangement that the employer would serve the employee meals. And what happens if the employer served the employee this type of a meal? Of food that was also. Does the employer have a financial claim? If it's a knas for having done so, so then you deserve a punishment. If it's because I paid for something and I didn't get what I paid for, I didn't pay for anything here. Another nafkamina. Very interesting nafkamina. What would be the halacha if the food that you served me is osur midrabbanan, that you sold me is osur midrabbanan, not osur midraisa. According to Rashi, that it's a knas, so it doesn't make a difference if it's the rice or the rabbanan. You did the wrong thing by selling me food that you're not allowed to sell me, and you deserve a punishment. According to the Sma, and this is the way the Mefarshim explained this, there's a famous vort, there's a famous explanation from the Nesivus. The Nesivus says, what's the difference between an Issa D'Raisa and an Issa D'Rabbanan? Says the Nesivus, an Issa D'Raisa is an Issa Cheftza. An Issa D'Rabbanan is an Issa Gavra, it's not an Issa Cheftza. That means, if it is a piece of meat, as we're talking in our Mishnah, that's Osa B'Raisa, that piece of meat is worthless, because it's Issa Cheftza. If there's a piece of meat that's Osa D'Rabbanan, the meat is not worthless, I have an Issa to eat it. So now the Sma's vort wouldn't be applicable. Because what's the whole vort of the Sma? That this meat has no value. So that you could say if the meat is osur midraisa. But if the meat is osur midrabbanan, it has value. And therefore, the Sma would hold that you do have to pay for it. One more nafkamina between Rashi and the Sma is what happened if this food that's osur, even if it's osur midraisa, you were mevatlit, it became bottled, in Shishim, whatever the shear is. So if we're following Rashi's opinion, you are mevatalit, but if we follow Rashi's opinion, that it's a knas, so it doesn't make a difference if you are mevatalit or not. You deserve a knas for selling me this type of meat. If, however, we follow the opinion of the Sma, so what's the Sma's vort? That it's something that's osur, but once it's bottled, it's not osur, and therefore I would have to pay for it. The Mefarshim also point out, what does the Mishnah mean when it says the words Masha Ochlai Ochlai? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, I bought this meat fair and square. I didn't mean to do anything wrong. You sold me meat that you weren't supposed to sell me. So that doesn't mean that I violated the Issa Machalos Asuras. Masha Ochlai Ochlai. I was an oinus. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, yes, I'm a godl, and I'm not allowed to eat Machalos Asuras. But what happened if I fed this meat to my children, who are ketanim? Ketanim have no isra of machalos asuras. So maybe, under those circumstances, the seller could say, pay me. They didn't do an avera. They're ketanim. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if it was ketanim who ate that meat, I still have a right to get back my money. Umash lo yachlu, and any of the meat that wasn't yet eaten, habasi you cover, v'yachsis adamim. The meat should be buried and give me back my money. So, there's a machloikis here too of the sma and the taz. Who should be the one to bury the leftover meat? The sma says that the customer who has that meat should be the one to bury it. Why? Because the sma says we see that this seller is a suspect individual, that he sells meat that he's not supposed to sell. So how do we know if we give him back the meat, he's just not going to go sell it elsewhere? So therefore, the customer should be the one to bury it. The Taz disagrees. Taz says that this meat, there's already enough publicity around this meat, that this meat that was sold to me is usur and shouldn't have been sold, that we need not be concerned that somebody else is going to fall in, and we could give it back and let him bury it. Continues the Mishnah. V'chein ha-shoich nesaparo. Somebody sold a cow, or machra, and he sells it, v'noidi shitreif, and then it becomes... we become aware that that meat is treif. And the Tosfos Yontif is medayik in the wording of the Mishnah. He says, if we look at the first case of the Mishnah, it says, v'noidish loy hareu, that you didn't show it. Here it says, v'noidish treif, we become aware that it's treif. Very opposite wording. Why? So he says, because by bechor, the chazok on the bechor is that it's osur to me, that it's a carbon, until we prove otherwise. By an animal, it's just the opposite. Every animal has a cheskes kashrus until we prove that it's a treifa. Masha ochloi ochloi. Again, the same halacha applies. That if you sold me treif meat, masha ochloi ochloi, or masha ochloi ochloi, hey mechsir lo yis abasar, now I have to give me back the meat, v'yu achsir lo yis adamim. And as the sma says, even though, the sma says, that even though we just learned a moment ago, that when it comes to the bechor meat, I have to be careful that I, the customer, should bury it. When it comes to the treifa meat, everybody will agree, even the sma, that the seller could bury it. Because once it's determined to be treif, people don't sell treif meat. Machrulai de kachavim, oytelu le klavim. If I bought treif meat from you, and I didn't eat it, I sold it to an akum, or I gave it to dogs, so nothing usher happened, Yishalmu d'mei treifa. So the way Rashi explains Yishalmu d'mei treifa, I have to pay for it because nothing wrong happened. But I don't have to pay the value of kosher meat. I pay the value of treif meat. But the way the Rishonim explain what Rashi means to say is that I bought meat from you at the price of kosher. And the price of treif is less than kosher. And I only got the price of treif, but I paid you the price of kosher. You have to give me the difference. But what would happen, according to this, if I sold this meat at the price of kosher? I paid for the meat at the price of kosher, and I sold it at the price of kosher to a guy or to a dog. Do I deserve a refund or not? On one hand, you could argue, why should I get a refund? I didn't have any loss. I sold it for what I paid. Others say, no, it's a knas, that you sold me treif meat. Yes, I was successful in selling it at the price of kosher, which is more than treif. But why should you gain when you, the seller, did the wrong thing? And even though I won't have a loss, I should get the difference in price. The Mefarshim asked, the Mishnah spoke about this case where the treif meat was sold to somebody who has no iser. What about the case of bechor meat? What would be the halacha? The Mishnah doesn't say this thing. If I sold the bechor meat, I bought the bechor meat, and I sold it to a goyd or gave it to a dog. Why doesn't the Mishnah say it? So the way the Mefarshim explained, a very interesting explanation, that indeed the halach would be by bechor meat the same as by treif meat. So why doesn't the Mishnah say it? So they say because it was very uncommon that Bechor meat that has in it Kedusha, regular meat has no Kedusha in it. Bechor meat has in it Kedusha that Jews who purchase Bechor meat would sell it to an Akum. Because it's a degradation of the Kedusha of the Bechor meat. And I saw a very interesting Kaf HaChayim. He says that one should be careful. He says it's even dangerous, he suggests, that if somebody has matzahs that he has set aside for the Seder, that he shouldn't give from those matzahs to an Akum. Again, because this matzah was designated to do an important mitzvah matzah, it should be given to an Akum, sold to an Akum. If it wasn't designated for the mitzvah, it's no problem. Tanabar, says the Braisa, Hamayich basal chaveri, if somebody sells meat to somebody else, v'nimtza basal b'char, peiris v'nimtza tfolim, you sold me fruit and it turns out what you sold me is tevel, yayin, you sold me wine, v'nimtza yayin nesach, masha achla achla, even though I ate from it, v'yachsalim sadamim, you have to give me a full refund. Same as our Mishnah. Rav Shimon ben Elazar has a different opinion. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, tfolim shanafshu, kotz behen, if it's something which is repulsive to the person who ate it, then indeed the halach is, yachslam as adamim, then I deserve a full refund. However, if it's something that's not repulsive, yinaklam hadamim, then I do have to pay for the hanor that I had. And he goes on to identify, what is considered repulsive, the veil is treifah, shkotz, and v'ramoshim. Veilam dvarim she'ena nafshim kotz behem, that not consider repulsim. B'chayr is tvalim v'yayin nesach. Ask the Gemara, what by b'char, yinaka, we learned that if I ate the b'char meat, we refund, you only refund how much I enjoyed the meat, but not the whole value. Ask the Gemara, v'leimalei, ma'ev siddetach. I could say to you, the seller, why do I owe you anything? You couldn't have done anything with this bechor, so why should I have to pay you anything? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha, t'zavonle b'makom muma. I ate the meat on the spot where there was a mum. I, the customer, ate the meat, the place where there was a mum. Dominated you, the seller, the original owner of the bechor, could tell me, ilav dechalt, had you not eaten this meat at that place, have a machsinele, I could still show that bechor meat to a chachem, v'sharim near Lake Rabbi Yehuda. We learned on Daf Laman Aleph, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says that you could show a bechor with certain mumim even after the animal is dead. But by me now having eaten this animal, it's too late. That's why you deserve to get paid. Tfalim, the same thing, if I wouldn't have eaten the tfalim, the halacha is, you could always take off the trumas and maisis. By me having eaten it, you lost that opportunity. Hamasakna levachalma. Yai nesach. And by yai nesach, you could have had saved it. Aide teruvis. Because we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya. The Tanan. The Mishnah says, Masech David Zara. Yai nesach shnaf lebar. If you have nine nesach that falls into a bar, kula asba no. The entire bar, unless you have the proper ratio, becomes asr. Shimon Gamliel, I'm a mimacha kula alav de kachavim. You could sell that entire mixture to an akum, except for the value of the yayin nesach. So you wouldn't have had such a loss. By me drinking it, you have a loss, and that's why I have to compensate you. So our next perek, Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, begins to speak about specific mumim that are considered a mum for which you would shecht, that the bechor is considered a bal mum. And as the Chazon Ish explains, there is a rule throughout Shas that shiurim are halach l'moshe m'sinai. He says this is not to be understood that way, that these are halach l'moshe m'sinai. What is a mum? What isn't a mum? Rather, says the Chazon Ish, the way to understand what we're going to learn is that the Torah left up to Chazal to determine what is considered a mum and what is not considered a mum. So says the Mishnah, Eilam mumin shaykhtan espechar. Nifkama oizen meskus, if the cartilage, avloy min ha'or, not the skin, not the soft spot, nistika, if the ear was split, apish loichosra, even if it's not missing any part of the ear, nikfa, if it has a hole, moloi kashina, the size of a bean, we'll speak about this more in tomorrow's shir, oishiyofsha, or it got dried up. Eizu yofsha, at what point is it considered dried up? Says the Mishnah, kosh tenokav eina metzid tipastam. It's so dry that if it gets punctured, it doesn't give out any blood. Rav Yosef Shulama, yofsha, it has to be even drier. So tenefrechas, that it crumbles, it's so dry that the ear is so dry. And as the Mefarshim explain, the way to understand the Mishnayis and Aperik, we're beginning from the head of the animal and working our way down. So the ear is at the top. So the first thing that the first Mishnah begins talking about the ear. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why is a mum in the ear considered a mum? The Torah, when it speaks about mumim, speak about pseach, when the animal can't walk, limps, fever, or it's blind. It's a beautiful word for the hamik dover. He says, when the Torah speaks about mumim of an animal, it says pseach fever. When the Torah speaks about mumim of a koyin, of a person, it says iver and pseach, the opposite order. Why? He says, what is an animal here specifically for? To ride on, to work with. So an animal that can't walk is really useless to me. That's why the Torah says first pseach and then iver. By a person, what is considered a bigger mum? That he can't say, that he can't see. That's why the Torah says iver and then pseach. Amai, iver pseach v'iver ksiv. Answers the Gemara, ksiv nami ki yibay mum. Since the Torah says your mum, it means any mum. Ask the Gemara, but maybe the way to understand the pasuk is as follows. Veima ki by mum is a klal. Pisech iver prat. And we have a rule throughout Shas. Klal prat, em beklal amash befrat. Pisech iver in midachuin aloy. No other mum is considered a mum that would make the animal into a mum. Answers the Gemara. Since the pasuk then goes on to say, called mumra, chos v'klal, so we have now klal after the prat, so it's considered a situation of klal prat to klal, and the aloch is, well, whenever we have a klal prat to klal, you have to don elokin a prat. The prat doesn't become only what's in the prat, it has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish. Now, what are the characteristics of the mum in the prat? Mum shebegoli, they're something that we all see, vein achayzrim, and they're not going to come back. So Farshim asks, if that's the case, that the definition of a mum is that it's missing, that it's revealed and not going to come back, why if an animal is missing a tooth, is it not considered a mum? Everybody sees it's missing a tooth and isn't going to grow back. So Farshim explained that since it's normal that teeth should fall out, that isn't going to be a mum. A mum means something that's abnormal, something that normally happens, is not considered a mum. Ask the Gemara, Vema, if we're learning it indeed as a klal of prat to klal, why don't we say, Ma, prat mefurish, mumish begoli, ubat mumalachtai? That's not a mum that's not going to come back and also obvious, but it's also that it hampers his ability to work. A blind animal, a limping animal can't work. Vein a chayzer, af kal mumim, maybe the only thing that should be considered a mum is shibigoli. Only if the mum has all three of these characteristics will it be considered a mum. Otherwise, it will not be considered a mum. But we just learned in our Mishnah, that if the cartilage of the ear, so why? That isn't batel mumalachtoi, answers the Gemara. Since the Torah says kol mamra, the Torah adds the word kol, ribuyahu. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the word kol is coming to include a greater, wider range of mumim, ihachi mumim shebasei tsunami, then why does it have to be a mum begoli? Alam etnan, we're going to learn, when we speak about the teeth and the gums, chutim, we spoke about it earlier already also, chutim chetzoni shenifkemu, v'shenigmu, v'pnimi shenekru, and we learned nekru in only if they were completely ripped out. But why? Because it's not, the reason the Mishnah makes these differentiations, these distinctions, is if it's visible or not. Why? Maybe Kol Mumra says that any mum is a mum. Answers the Gemara, be a mumra for leka. That's not considered mumra. Ask the Gemara, ihachi mum oivernami. If we're saying that Kol Mum is coming to be marba all sorts of mumim, then maybe even a mum oiver should be considered a mum, for which the Bukhar is considered bal mum. Alamatnan v'loimena or. And why in our Mishnah is a mum and the or not considered a mum? Because it's a mum oiver, it's a passing mum. But why? Why should we say that kol mum ra comes to include that as well? Answers the Gemara, mum oiver svarahu. There's a svara why a mum oiver is not considered a mum. Hashta. Because if the halacha is that when an animal which is designated as a carbon gets a mum, the halacha is that you can't bring it as a carbon, you have to repaid it, you have to redeem it. Hashta, mifrik loipa kinalavei, the halacha is that if an animal which is designated as a carbon, if it gets a mum oiver, it isn't a reason to have to redeem it. Mishat shchitin alei, then would we consider it a mum, the tanya? And how do we know that that is indeed the halacha? Because the pasuk says, "Vim kol behema tamei shlo yikrivim menakom l'Hashem." B'mal says the brisa, "B'malim mumin shenifdakos medaber." At the oima, "B'malim mumin shenifdakos medaber." I ain't el behema tamei mamish. Maybe the Torah is teaching us that a behema tamei should be redeemed. She'emer, when there's another pasuk that says, "Vim behema tamei." Hare behema tamei omer. We already have a pasuk teaching us that halacha. Hamani kaim ashlei kriven mena. Have omer ze bali mumen. The pasuk is talking about mum sheniftu. Yochel, this is what's relevant to our shir. Yochel yiftu am mum oiver. I would think that you could be even paid it if it had just a mum oiver. Tamaloimer ashlei kriven mena kabel Hashem. Mi she'en a kreva kol ikar. An animal that can never be brought as a carbon. Such an animal has these halachas, yatzuzu, to exclude an animal, she'ena kreva hayoyim, that even though today, while it has the mum oiver, you can't bring it, you can bring it to machar. So what do we see from here? That an animal with a mum oiver is not considered a mum. Similarly here, even though the Torah says the word kol, we can't say that it means a mum oiver. Ibai seima, imkei pseich ivalamali. The Gemara says a very nice teretz. If we're going to include every mum, it doesn't have to have any of these restrictions, so why does the Torah have to say Pesach Iver? The Torah, by saying Pesach Iver, is obviously coming to limit what is considered a mum. So we learned in the Mishnah, Niska Abish Lachesra, if it's split, even though it's not missing any of the ear. Tana Rabbanan, so it teaches us the Braisa, Haskadak, a split kalshu, any split makes it a mum. Habgima, when we speak about a whole, Bein B'dei Odom B'dei Shemayim, is Medayik the Gemara, Meklal, the stack, B'dei Shemayim Loi. Since the Brisa is said by Begima, it makes no difference how the Begima happened, it seems that by stack, the only type of stack that would be considered a mum is if it's man-made. Ella, says the Gemara, the way to understand the Brisa is follows. Stakku b'dima, b'im b'dei shmaim b'dei odom. V'kama shir b'gema. And now the Gemara continues, how much is shir b'gema? K'dei shetach b'yitzupayrin, that the nail would feel that missing piece. Nikva, mala kashina. We learned if it has a hole the size of a b'gema is a niche. A nikva is a hole. If it has a hole the size of a bean, tama, Tana, Rabbanan, says the Brisa, Kam Nekivas Oizen, what is considered a hole? Molekashina, the size of a bean. Rabbi Yosef Yudayma, Bekadasha, the size of a lentil. Veza Yivasha, what is considered that it's dried, that it's already considered a mum? Tana Kama learn Shimti Nokavani Mitzid Hypostam, it's so dried that no blood would come out of it. Rabbi Yosef Mishulama, Yivasha has to be so dried, Kidei Shitei Nefreches. Now the Gemara makes a comment. Tana, Krovim Devreim Liyashovim. In both of the cases that the Braisa just discussed, an ear with a hole, or an ear that's dried up, the Gemara brought two opinions on every one of these issues. So the Gemara comments that these two opinions aren't that far apart. Ask the Gemara, Devreim the man. Who is the Braisa commenting? Ilam the Tanakam Rabbi Yosef and Meshulam. If it's what Tanakama Rabbi Yosef Meshulam, that according to Tanakama, a ear, as soon as it's so dry that it gives out no blood, it's considered dry. And Rabbi Yosef Meshulam says it has to be so dry that it crumbles. So there's a very big difference between that. That can't be what the Tana means. El of the Tanakama Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. That he says, Adasha, and he says, Kashina, and says the Gemara, there isn't much different. Says the Gemara, Kedasha, that he said that it's only considered a hole when it's the hole of the size of Adasha, which seems to indicate, Batz Mekadasha, that if it's less than that, Loi, it wouldn't be a problem. Ask the Gemara, Bermini, Matseya. The Torah teaches us that every Ivri is sold for 6 years. What happens if the every Ivri wants to stay longer? So we all remember the parasha Mishpatim, take him to the mezuzah and make a hole in the ear with a matzeya. Only a matzeya with a hole maker. Minayin l'rabbis asul v'asira v'machiv v'magdeya v'machatav any sharp implement. Tamaloymer v'lokachta kol dover shenilkos b'yad. Anything that you could use to make a hole. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Matseya. Ma Matseya miyuchid shamatchis. It has to be a metal instrument. Av kol shamatchis. It has to be a metal instrument. V'ktani sefer. And that Brisa continues saying, Om Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Hayudairish, kinshin roitzim, when they make the hole, en roitzim el b'milas. They only make the hole on the part of the ear that's soft. V'chamayimrim, en evit ivri kayin nirtza. You can't, an evit kayin, evit ivri who's a kayin doesn't have ritzia, neshinasa balmum. Because it becomes a balmum, and the Torah says, this is what Rosh Hashanah explained, that after the evit ivri by yoivul goes home, v'shavel mishpachta, he should be able to go back to his position. Now, if he's a kayin and he's a balmum, he won't be able to go back. How could he have been an Evid Ivri in the first place? He was a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to work for somebody else. So Mepharshim say a number of pshatim. One is that we're talking about that he was Meichel. Another pshat is that if he gets paid, there's no issue to have a worker who's a Kohen. And here he's working, get paid. Another is the halacha that you're not allowed to work with a Kohen is only by Kohen Miyuchas, not by Kohen Shem Miyuchas. And that's why nowadays it's much less of a concern having a Kohen as an employee. The Chamayimrim. Ain't ever every kohen nirtzav neshnas b'mum. Ask the Gemara, Bim Taimer, if we're now saying b'milas hayiroitzim that the hole was made on the soft part, heich ever the kohen nasa b'mum hayiroitzim el begovishal oizen. But what do we see? That even the smallest hole makes into b'mum. What are we saying? And it has to be an adasha. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chana b'ktima loy kasha kan lishchayt kan lifsoil. To shecht it chutz la zara, it has to have a bigger hole. To become posel, any hole makes it into posel. One more line. My kashina, we keep on speaking about the kashina. What is the kashina? Says the Gemara, Shabya Hinda, a type of being that came from Hinda.